to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock, Friday afternoon edition of the show. Your unofficial UT baseball pregame show. 3 hours of lead-up coverage to Tennessee and Charlotte.
Let's go!
You fired up, Bear?
Heck yeah!
We are watching.
Even more fired up if Lipscomb will do us a solid here.
Clemson struggling. It's always like this, man. I mean, that's something I've learned, and like this is our third year of really getting into this stuff.
There's no telling.
These regionals are always a struggle. Even the one seed. Today is going to be a battle. I'd be stunned if we just go out there and blow them out. It's going to be frustrating. It's going to be a long, brutal slog. But at the end. And Clemson is up 1-6-5 in the bottom of the sixth inning at home.
They've trailed most of this game.
Yeah, you just got to figure a way to dock the ship, to get that plane on the ground, all four wheels. Just got to figure a way to survive in advance, man. It's never easy in these things. Never.
Yeah.
Who did we struggle with in the first game last year? It wasn't Campbell, was it? Was it Campbell?
I thought Campbell.
Campbell was the good team, right? Who was the four seed last year? Who did we play the first day?
We played Alabama State
the first day,
but we didn't struggle. It was 10-0.
Yeah, we did smoke them. Yeah.
We struggled with Campbell.
It was Campbell and Georgia Tech.
And Georgia Tech, yeah.
And I had my most successful tweet ever when I spy at Pack of Marlboro Reds.
That's Cowboy your most killer. Successful tweet ever?
Dude, that thing's got like over a million.
It's pretty good.
I mean, it got aggregated.
Just a pack of smokes.
Yeah, Trey Wallace is so jelly.
Was your
so jealous?
Was the latent nicotine addiction in the back of your mind? Did you see those and be like,
"Oh, I can focus in on it."
Do you still feel that addiction, that force? Like, how long has it been since you quit smoking? 2 years now.
2 years, a little over. I still dream about smoking. Seriously, like I have dreams where I'm like. Just smoking.
Yeah.
I wake up craving one.
Yeah, really?
It never goes away. Man. Never goes away. It's more addictive than hair. It's one of the most addictive substances on the planet.
I remember, like, my grandparents' generation, they all smoked, right? And so I had three grandparents. My father's dad had passed by at the time I was born. And they all smoked. All three of them smoked when I was born. And I remember, like, my dad's mom, I don't think she ever quit. And then my mom's parents both quit. When I was like, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 years old, something like that. But I remember them smoking all the time. It was just a normal part of life. People smoked in their house back then. People smoked everywhere. But like it was pretty shocking because they were old. You know, they were like in their probably early 70s or something when they finally decided to quit smoking.
My mom quit in her early 70s.
That must be hard, man, to quit.
She never looked back. She had to have her hip replaced.
Did she go cold turkey?
She went cold turkey. Ooh. She was in the hospital for like 6 days. So that she said that helped. Yeah, she just quit cold turkey because they told her that it was going to – anytime you have something like that, like smoking obviously hampers.
Circulation.
Yeah, and like bone growth and – healing and
oxygen in your bloodstream,
yeah,
all that
basically.
Stuff. It's yeah, man, I can't kick diet sodas. Like I've tried several times, I can't do it. So I can't imagine what it's like to have an actual nicotine addiction. But yeah, like why do people start doing that anymore? Like I understand, like
back when I was a kid,
it's cool. But like nowadays, like how do people get started?
I mean, when I was a kid, I remember old man, one of my buddy's dads, he would smoke with us in the car with the windows rolled up.
Yeah.
Yeah. He probably had one clenched between his teeth when he met his maker.
Glad we figured that one out. So, Tennessee baseball tonight, 6 p.m. Voluntary Reaction is back as soon as it's over. Davey Hudson will join me and Bear live on Twitter Spaces as we get set to break things down this evening as Tennessee baseball, you know, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter anymore what happened up to this point. Every team for themselves, everybody's got that slate wiped clean, and we'll see if the Vols can get things started. Interesting, we've been doing this pitcher calculus all week long, and just quick conversation we had before jumping on the air here. What if Lipscomb were to pull the shocker today and Tennessee takes care of business? Would you still throw Chase Dolander tomorrow against the four seed David Lipscomb, or would you save him for Saturday? Sunday, yeah.
For the championship
or even Monday. I mean, like, would you push him back until you face Clemson, basically?
Yeah, I don't
know. Or Charlotte again.
I kind of feel like we would get down in the weeds and overthink it and maybe pull something like that. I got a feeling Vitello would just keep everybody where they're at.
Well, I saw LSU today at the last minute said they're starting Skeens.
Yeah.
And they must be – I don't know who they're playing, but the four seed in that regional.
Tulane, and they're 19-40 overall record.
They were the one that snuck in by winning
I don't know how they decided to pitch Skeens.
It started a kerfuffle on Twitter.
Well, it's like Bear saying, you don't overthink it. You just throw your guy out there, and there's obviously a case to be made not to start him, but they're like, no, we're going to win game one and figure out the rest later.
Got to win game one.
Sometimes the straightest line between 2 points is a straight line. I butchered that.
Oh, yeah.
What the hell was
the
that?
The shortest distance between
there
two points is a straight line.
Yes.
All right. 3,300, ladies and gentlemen, 3,300.
Stop. I was actually really good at geometry after being terrible in algebra. Had a big comeback sophomore year.
Something that might shock you about me and geometry. Teacher told me on the first day of class, if I would just sit quietly and not cause trouble, I would pass, no matter what happened. I never opened a book. Just played the quiet game for an hour every day, sophomore year.
Fascinating. 865-546-8200.
I understand geometry.
Your number to get on the show. You don't understand it? You don't understand circumference, radius?
Do
you know what circumference is?
If you found that book of mine, it's still brand new, never been opened.
What about radius, diameter? You don't know what any of this stuff is?
No, the diameter of my brain is huge.
What's the long side of a right triangle called?
An isosceles.
No. You don't remember the long side of the right triangle? I know my guy Tucker knows this. I mean, he's been out
of school for like 10 minutes.
Still in school. What's it called? Enlighten him, Tucker.
Hypotenuse.
Great word.
I got your hypotenuse right here, buddy. No, I didn't pay attention to geometry. What's that teacher's name?
I had Miss Scott over at West.
Miss Williams.
Oh, yeah. Made it a little bit easier.
Did you never have a teacher tell you if you just be quiet and not cause trouble, you'd pass?
No, because I was a good kid. I was there to learn.
I just not in geometry. Like Greek to me. I don't care about that. The theorems and all that stuff. See all my buddies sweating it out, having a what do you call that when you've got to like prove your theorem or whatever?
A proof.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those things sucked.
Yeah.
I don't remember much of it myself.
It's a little bit more recent for me, but I just remember those were awful. The rest of geometry wasn't bad, but that sucked.
I remember at a certain point, I think it was my senior year, I was taking Algebra 2, or maybe it was pre-calculus, whatever it was, and I was humming along, I was doing the work, I was getting by, and we got into the sine, cosine, and tangent and all that stuff, and I was just like, you know what? I think I'm good here. I'm going to let y'all go on this journey without me, and that's where my mathematical education abruptly ended.
Mine ended the first day of geometry. I made a decision to be good so others could learn, Russ.
Oh, it's very
magnanimous.
Yeah, nice of you, yes, that you allowed the other students to continue with their education at Catholic High School back in the day. All right, Bear, are you ready? I've got Rogers' keys to the game. tonight.
Let's go, buddy.
Four keys to the game in honor of the late, great Roger. And we'll start with number one. We need Lindsey's best stuff tonight, obviously. I think he's got to have a good start. We don't need a no-hitter or anything like that, but he's got to be able to go deep into the ball game. I think he's got to get into that sixth inning at least, preferably longer.
He needs to. He's going to have to hurt his former team's feelings tonight.
It'd be nice to see him get up near 90, 100 pitches from Andrew Lindsey tonight. So I think that's first of all is get that good quality start from your Friday night pitcher. Number two, I think you have to have a patient approach at the plate tonight.
Yeah, and this guy, junk ball.
He's a left-hander. These guys, we've had a lot of trouble with them, as we discussed yesterday. And you can't do this, go up there and swing at the first pitch every single hitter thing. I think you've got to take the first pitch every time. You've got to grind. I'm not anticipating. I would love to go out there and score 10 runs tonight and put it on cruise control. I'd be stunned if that happened. And I just think that you've got to be patient at the plate. Make this guy throw you strikes. Don't swing at the first pitch. What you don't want to have happen is you look up and it's a 1-0 game, regardless of who's ahead, or a tied game in the fifth inning, and he's only thrown 50 pitches.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden you're not probably not going to get him out of the game. So, I mean, I think that is critical.
It's critical.
Is staying patient at the approach at the plate, not just jumping all over the first pitches out there. Number three, the right-handed hitters have to eat. Your righties had to show up big time tonight, and I'm looking at two guys mainly when I say that. I think Christian Moore and Griffin Merritt have to hit the ball hard tonight from the right side of the plate against a left-handed starting pitcher. Ensley, Denton, Stark, I want to see everybody hit, obviously, but – if Simo and Merritt are not hitting tonight, I think it could be a long one.
Where's what's the status on Kovaris Tears?
I mean, as far as I know, he's healthy. I just think he's kind of buried on the. I think he's a bench bat basically.
Huh.
I mean, who are you going to start him ahead of?
I don't know, but before he got hurt, man, his bat had really started to heat up. I mean, if not for him, we don't beat Vanderbilt, and that's what started the whole.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a valuable bat coming off the bench, but as far as I know, he is healthy. And then your fourth key to the game tonight, what do you think the fourth key is, Bear?
Play a clean game.
You're gosh darn right it is. Can't be out there booting it around, Bear. No base running blunders tonight. Come on, guys. Let's tighten it up. Tighten up.
Well, a lot of times this season, Russell, it's been the difference between one of our pitchers getting out of an inning with a 12 or 13, 14-pitch inning and a 30-pitch inning. Like I started paying attention to that. We started booting it around when I was watching games early in the season. It was maddening. Like, they just pick up one ground ball. They flub it. They boot it. And next thing you know, Dolander Burns went from being at 15 pitches in the second inning to like 34.
Can't give these teams extra outs.
Mm-mm.
All these teams earned it to get here. They're all good. They're all capable. Even that Tulane team playing LSU today, like nobody got here on accident. Everybody either had a really good season or won a conference tournament somewhere, is on a roll. You cannot make it any easier on the opposition than it absolutely has to be. So those are Roger's keys today. Great stuff from Lindsey. Patient approach at the plate. Right-handed hitters have to eat, and you got to play a clean game. Don't forget, tune in. Voluntary reaction immediately after the game, as soon as it's over. Bear, Davey, and I will be live on Twitter Spaces, breaking it down to levels that can only be described as beyond scientific.
Microscope out.
It's National Donut Day. Have you had any donuts yet, Bear?
Me?
Yeah.
Tell the truth, Tom? Yeah. Yeah.
What kind of donut did you have?
I started my morning over there in Rocky Hill.
Well, it's funny because I brought the –
That's why I didn't go
– I brought some
I didn't
over.
Go elbow deep in
I thought it was very curious behavior that Bear did not immediately tear into the Ritchie Cream Donuts. You beat me there. You were already there.
The Ritchie Cream people are still wiping the sleep out of their eyes this morning. Bam, 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 bam. What? It's National Donut Day, dude.
What'd you get?
I got a couple of regular, you know, there's standard glaze, which are delish. A cronut. You had that yet?
What's that?
It's the regular glazed donut, but instead of like regular donut dough, they use croissant dough.
Ooh,
so, flaky like Russell. It is tens of thousands of individual layers of dough inside that donut.
I would say tens of thousands of calories, but yeah, sounds good.
That too. And then I got an apple fritter. And
is an apple fritter a donut?
No,
I don't think so. Does a donut have to have a hole in it?
I don't know. And,
no, because you got jelly filled. That's a donut.
Okay, but why do they call the middle
the hole?
The donut hole when you get them. What do they call them at Dunkin' Donuts? Munchkins?
Yeah. Those should be the holes. They do call them the holes, right? Some people call those donut holes.
Donut holes. Yeah. But they're not a hole.
It's the hole you took out of the donut.
It's never made sense to me.
I can see where it would be confusing. It makes sense to me.
So, yeah. And then I had an apple fritter. And then don't sleep on those, what are they called? Are they called Schlotzky? Or they've got some kind of Polish name. The sausages wrapped with the pastry.
Sausage? I've never understood the need to bring protein into donuts. Like, my wife loves the
bacon
covered.
No, it's not sweet. It's like a sausage and it's got pastry wrapped around it. It's kind of like a variation of a biscuit, sort of.
I don't need meat in it. You're talking about a pig in a blanket?
Yeah, basically, yeah, but it's delish. You can't.
Going with delish, huh? That's two in the same segment. Yeah. You're kind of
when I'm talking
that
about
thing.
Ritchie Cream, okay. They are delicious. Delicioso. You had a donut yet today, Marcus?
No, I have not. I haven't had anything to eat today.
Well, your blood sugar's low, kid. Go get your donut at the break.
Yeah, we got to change that, man.
You know, slap you around, get you pepped up. It's Friday, Marcus. We got a game in
Tennessee baseball. Put your game face on, Marcus. Put your
game
face on.
Let me see your war face, Marcus.
Show me your war face.
I'm ready, fellas.
Oh, my God.
Stay with us. The drive continues. It's Fan Run Radio. Come on, Marcus. You got to give me one good smashed before we get out of here.
Smash!
Come on.
I can't do it.
Yes, you can.
Come on.
Give me a segment.
We're not breaking until you give us a smashed.
I guess we're here till 6. I need a moment to gather myself, Russell.
You haven't spoken in 17 minutes. We've been on the air. Say something!
I've had quite the morning.
Do it now! Smashed! Smashed!
I'll wait.
Is this really what we're going to do?
You really think that you can outlast?
Come on, Marcus. These commercials ain't going to play themselves.
Smashed!
Smashed!
Oh, my God.
Weak.
Oh, my God.
Weak sauce.
The most limp-wristed excuse for a smashed I've ever heard.
Say it like
you guys. Unacceptable.
Smashed!
All right. We'll let you grow a pair during the break. You're very disappointing. Very disappointing. Stay with us. The drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up. This one goes out to Tony V and the boys.
I'm too sexy for my shirt.
Getting ready. For NCAA tournament postseason action in Clemson.
Looks beautiful down there. Wonder what the temp is.
Those two-seaters in Clemson ain't ready for Tony V and the boys swaggering in there.
Two-seater
tonight.
Right behind home plate.
Town full of slump busters. Oh, squiggly balloon lady. I mean, come on. Can we get rid of her already? I have multiple people hitting me up about squiggly balloon lady. At Clemson tonight, or she's surely not going to be there for game two. Surely, can we get somebody with a needle over there and just pop that thing?
Can we get some muscle over here.
Melissa Click, send some of your goons take care of Squiggly Balloon Lady.
This isn't basketball. This is America's game. Why is she allowed to do that?
It seems like an unfair advantage or disadvantage to me.
She's lucky that net's up there.
Somebody ought to step up and do something about this. Well, so I'll go ahead and stand by my NBA Finals hot take from yesterday on the show.
Heat in seven?
What?
You had some inane take where you were like, if the Heat win tonight, they're going to win the whole thing.
No, I said whoever wins last night was going to win the whole thing. And I stand by that. I don't think it will take seven games. I think the Denver Nuggets are thoroughly outclassing the Miami Heat. I don't think Miami has any answers for them.
I don't think they got any gas left in the tank. I still think it's laughable that somebody at this station said that, what's that big guy's name from Denver? I can't. Is it Djokovic?
Jokic.
Jokic, that he's the greatest big man in NBA history.
I mean, it's way too early for that. Who said that?
Collier.
Way too early for that kind of talk. He's pretty damn good, man.
I mean, he's damn good, but
he's a different
kind. That's what I'm gonna tell you. Wilt,
who,
Bill,
well,
Kareem,
it's a completely
Shaq.
Different game, and he's a completely different player. Who would you compare to Nikola Jokic? There's nobody. He is a completely unique player. Like, you could compare Kobe and Michael as far as their body types. You could compare Bill Russell and Wilt Chamberlain as far as their game, even though they had different body types. You could compare a lot of big guys, but who are you going to compare to Nikola Jokic? I don't think there is anybody who has that kind of combination of passing ability, floor general leadership, shooting, scoring touch in the low post, a guy who can absolutely do it all.
Shaq?
You think Shaquille O'Neal can shoot the ball like Nikola Jokic?
He's the most dominant big man ever played the game and ever will.
What does that have to do with what we're discussing?
We're talking about the GOAT.
No, we're not. No, no, we're not talking about that. No. Well, you're talking about that.
That's what I was talking about.
How old is Jokic? Is what, 27 or so? Like, he's in his prime. If he were to reel off a couple of titles, he's already got, what, two MVPs? Probably should have had the MVP this year, looking back on it. Like, and if he wins the championship this year, I think that will improve his MVP cred going forward. Like, he could be in that conversation for the greatest big man. I mean, that wouldn't surprise me here 5-6 years down the road if he has a couple of titles, more MVPs, and just general all-around continued dominance.
Give it time. Come on.
Yeah, listen to Marcus. Pump your brakes, Russ. Tell him, Marcus. Well,
that's what I'm saying.
Fine, we had to talk about the NBA before we could rouse Marcus out of his stupor.
He's 28 years old. He hasn't won a championship yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yet.
No rings.
Like,
has Denver ever won a championship?
No.
Mm-mm. Who's your favorite Denver Nugget?
He's got to be Alex English, right?
That's what I was getting ready to say. Remember that movie? Remember the anti-nuclear weapons movie he made?
No. Alex English?
Yeah, he was in it.
Did he go to South Carolina?
I believe he did. Is he from the Palmetto State?
I think so. There's a famous English. I might be mixing up Englishes. But, yeah, I mean, that would be a huge – be the guy to bring an NBA title to Denver, of all places. My lasting memory of the Denver Nuggets was the year they beat Seattle, the Sonics. I want to say 94, 95. I think they were the first 8 seed to take down a 1 seed in the NBA playoffs before you had the play-in games and all that stuff. Just Dikembe Mutombo had the ball. It was a huge upset. Huge upset back in the mid-90s. I think they turned around and lost to the Lakers or something like that immediately afterwards. But still, that was a big moment.
Yeah, he was Alex English, born and raised out of – I hope I'm saying this right. He was born and raised Columbia, South Carolina.
You're saying that right, yes, Columbia.
Dreher High School, Dreher. In Columbia, and then he went
Alex
to South Carolina. Amazing Grace and Chuck was the name of that movie.
Could you tell me what conference South Carolina played in those days?
They were an independent, weren't they?
They were an independent for a while. I believe before they came to the SEC, they were in the old Metro Athletic Conference.
Because he would have played there, like, I think it was like Alex English, sneaky old, like 72 to 76. He's a few years older than Ernie and Bernie.
Again, a segment that I'm sure is resonating with the younger portion of our audience, the career of Alex English. We're tying it into the Denver Nuggets. It is modern and topical basketball conversation here this afternoon. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on board this afternoon. If you've got thoughts on UT baseball, the NBA Finals, 546-8200. Of course, the other big story floating around the internet the past 24 hours or so, the SEC football schedule. Anybody have any extra thoughts as that news kind of came down in our final hour yesterday as we processed it in real time, the SEC staying for at least another year at 8 conference games?
I will never cease to be amazed. The only thing I got. Cease to be amazed at Nick Saban's ability to talk out both sides of his face. When he was talking, he was sitting there talking about how he had wanted the, you know, the 9 game. It was like, dude, the reason we're doing the 1-7 is because you got your knickers in a twist, as the Brits
do
say.
Do we have a public? I was looking for this earlier, could not find it. Do we know what all 14 schools were voting?
I don't know. I saw online last night because like 40 and the usual suspects off the list were taking pot shots. The
40's piece was so lame yesterday, even by his admittedly lame standards, basically calling the SEC chicken. It's like, dude
look at the scoreboard.
Yeah, like a chicken of what? The ACC? You think the SEC is scared?
Did you not see what Sankey said the other night? Well, somebody said to him? It's like last time we played, it was 67.
Again, it has very little competitive component to it, in my opinion. This is a money grab. This is a negotiation, and it's going to go on for a couple of more years, evidently. I heard it was 9-5, basically, that it's 9 schools in favor of the 8-game schedule, 5 in favor of the 9-game schedule, but Oklahoma and Texas are both in favor of the 9 because they're coming from a lead that's 9, but they don't have a vote yet.
Right.
So that when they revisit this, it would presumably be 9-7, meaning they would just have to flip one vote.
I don't really think they're going to have a choice next time. I mean, they're going to have to. I was surprised they were able to buck their overlords in Bristol, Connecticut like this.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, my stance in all this is that it is – that it's just a negotiation and that they're trying to get ESPN to pony up a little bit more dough so they can compete with the Big Ten's contract. And I think ultimately that's what's going to happen. It's just going to take another year or two to play out.
I think the list I saw had, I know two of the five are Missouri, South Carolina. I want to say maybe Kentucky.
Two of the five that are going for the 9 game?
Yeah.
I thought Kentucky was staunchly in the 8-game camp. Isn't that Stoops? Which I don't know why we're letting Kentucky have any sort of decision.
Yeah, man, they're lucky they get an equal share.
Remember when they used to wait in the car? These conversations.
I remember when you used to wait in the car.
Well, whatever ends up happening, it sounds like we're gonna play. And that'll be the interesting thing, is to see how they work this with no divisions. It sounds like you're going to keep Vanderbilt probably, and it sounds like they're going to make an effort to keep Tennessee and Alabama. Beyond that, I don't know. I mean, it sounds like, I don't say permanent opponents because it might just end up being a one-off, but it sounds like Georgia might be off the schedule. Florida might be off the schedule. Kentucky, South Carolina, all these teams that we have just grown accustomed to playing year in, year out for the past 30 years. It's not just Tennessee, Alabama, a lot of yearly rivalries that Tennessee has been a part of for a long time are potentially set to go the way of the Buffalo. I think that it is kind of sad that they couldn't get their act together. You've known Oklahoma and Texas are coming into this league for what, 3 years now? Maybe two, even if it's
two years.
You've had 2 years.
I remember exactly where I was when the news dropped.
Here?
No. I was at the BP station in Mount Juliet. And I was on my way back from Nashville. You were talking to Aaron Torres. We were interviewing him that day. I was doing the show from the road.
I mean, even 2 years, I realize it's a complex thing with dramatic implications, both financially, competitively, culturally, all that stuff. And But aren't we adults here? Aren't these high-priced lawyers with lots of expertise in these areas? We couldn't expedite this process and get it ironed out in 2 years?
No. Because Nick Satan
really, you think that's convenient cop-out.
I think that's who led the charge for it. What's funny to me is you acting like Nick Saban doesn't he doesn't have the power to do pull a power play like this, and B, wouldn't.
Oh, I think he absolutely would if he could. I don't think that he has the power over 13 other schools in this league. I don't think the reason we're sitting here today with a potential one-off 8-game scheduled is because Nick Saban didn't want to play Tennessee, Auburn, and Georgia as his three permanent – or LSU, whoever it was, as his three permanent opponents.
All I'll say to that is the greatest trick that the devil ever pulled.
You've never seen that movie.
Convincing everybody that he didn't exist.
You've never seen that movie. You won't watch it just out of spite for me. One of the greatest films of all time. You won't watch just because I like it.
Which one's
so childish?
Which movie? There's multiple.
The Usual Suspects.
Yeah, it's The Usual Suspects is where that line comes from.
Really? It's a great line.
It's a great movie.
Just imagine how much better it would be if you actually had the context to know where it came from and what it means. Kaiser Soze. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines this afternoon. 546-8200 if you want to chime in. Coming up, hour number two, we're going to visit with our good friend Lucas Widespread Panzeca, 104.5 The Zone in Nashville and the Titans Radio Network. Get his thoughts on the topics du jour this afternoon. Let's go to the phones. And don't act for a second like I'm carrying water for Nick Saban, because I'm about to roll up my sleeves and rip him. Coming up here a little bit later.
Dig in.
It's been a while.
You can get all up in it.
Yeah, I'm not like you and the rest of these woolly Tennessee fans who'd rip Nick Saban because that's just the thing to do. I only rip people when you really deserve to be ripped. And there's many things you can rip Nick Saban for. I don't think this scheduling debacle is one of them. But there is certainly something that he has made himself very rippable for. I'm going to do that coming up here a little bit later this afternoon on the show. Phil is up first today on the phone lines. Good afternoon, Phil.
Hey, buddy,
what's up, Philly?
How are you, Bear, Marcus, and Tucker doing?
Doing all right, thanks.
Well, we're going to win tonight.
Well, Phil just cuts right to the chase, doesn't he?
Well.
Yeah, I think so.
Whether they're going to look real good or real bad, you know it and I know it.
I think they're going to do it because we got our dog on the mound. It sounds like Andrew Lindsay is one of the few guys on this roster that would have fit in from a mentality perspective with last year's roster. And I think that he goes out there and competes tonight.
Yeah, well, I hope they do. You said Kentucky was for an 8-game schedule because they had to play another SEC team. There's no – way Stoops will go to a bowl game.
Yeah, the one that – the list that – you're right, Phil. The list at Brett McMurphy, I finally found it. The teams that were 9-game yes votes were Florida, Georgia, LSU, Missouri, and Texas A&M.
So Tennessee is not one of the – they're not for the 9-game
catch. Apparently not.
I don't – I was talking with somebody about this earlier today. I don't get the feeling that Heupel cares much one way or other. He just strikes me as a – yeah, you just go show me the schedule. I'll be there. We'll play ball. But I'm sure Danny White and Plowman, Boyd, and all those folks have their reasons for wanting whatever it is they want.
Those reasons are usually begin with dollar signs. I'm imagining they're not wanting to give up a guaranteed.
Yeah, they just want a little more money for it. It's like, yeah, we'll do the 9 games. You're just going to have to pay more for it.
Well, the only problem with this playing 8-game conference, you're already seeing the media saying the SEC's chicken and this, that, and the other. Then when it comes down to having a committee that picks these teams for the playoffs, the SEC is going to get screwed on at least one from the Big Ten or somebody because they say they play 10 conference games or 9 or whatever they play.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen that. Then I've seen other people point out that, you know, all the SEC really has to just look at the record. We beat the hell out of – SEC teams beat the hell out of the other conferences. They're just not as good. Doesn't matter what.
Well, an 8-game, sometimes you can get lucky on 8-game college series and you don't probably play anybody.
Yeah, I mean, that. I could see what you're saying coming to pass, Phil, where like there's a team that's borderline and they get penalized for not playing as strong a schedule. But Bears right, too, because the SEC is going to win the playoff. So.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, you're always going to get one or two
teams
in.
Tennessee, though, trying to get in the playoff, you'd hate for us to get screwed because of that. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, sure.
They're going to have to upgrade their non-conference schedule just a little bit if they're just going to play 8 conference games. Instead of playing these East Tennessee States and Tennessee Tech, garbage. That's like watching a garbage game.
Oh, it's brutal. I mean, you want to see Alabama play Mercer? You
no.
want to see Arkansas play Arkansas Pine Bluff?
No, but it's a guarantee. It's a well. I'm not saying I agree with it. What I am saying is that fourth game is a guaranteed home game every year. If you go to a 9 game, it's not guaranteed home game. I understand what they're doing. They want money because they're losing a guaranteed home game. However many hundreds of thousands of dollars that is.
I mean, Danny White's losing home games going to Nashville for no reason.
That's a good point.
I'll play Virginia here.
Me too. I'd love to do a home and home with Virginia.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'd like to start playing Notre Dame again or, you know.
I mean, we're still – I mean, I wouldn't say mad, but, I mean, there were a ton of fans that were planning on going out to BYU for that game. That was going to be this year. Didn't that what we decided, boys, that it was this year? We were supposed to open the season in Provo.
Yep. Would have been cool.
I'll tell you this. Tennessee historically has played real good non-conference people in history of the school, and it's probably cost Tennessee a national championship by playing too tough a schedule. Look at 1990 as an example.
Yeah. I mean, Tennessee is not – one of the schools that you're going to be looking at to say, hey, these guys are playing a weak schedule that is not deserving of strength of schedule consideration.
Now, Georgia, historically, they've been playing them. It's been they've only gone west of the Mississippi once ever, right?
Yeah, they don't exactly like to branch out and take on all comers, Phil.
No, they don't. And this 8-game schedule, Kentucky, you know, they won't even go to a bowl if they go to a 9-game schedule. Did y'all see where Antonio Reyes is in the portal now? And Kentucky's got one less player, their best shooting guard left.
What is going on up there?
I don't know, but Phil, I know you're a fellow Rupp's Rafters lurker.
Yeah.
They're melting down.
Oh,
they're melting down, yeah.
Did you see that one message board? I'd seen it, and then Message Board Geniuses tweeted it out. There's a guy that's wanting to start a movement.
A movement?
Yeah.
What kind of movement?
To get rid of Cal.
Oh, yeah, they want Cal gone. I mean,
they said they paid him $36 million for one tournament win. His buyout's $36 million. Explain to him why it's too big of a buyout.
Well, I give them credit, though. They care about winning. And when you get to the point where you're wanting to run Calipari out of Dodge, then we keep these bums we hire in football too long. I mean, it says a lot that your fan base deserves to try to win a championship. And hopefully we finally got it right over here. See you.
Thank you, Phil.
Somewhat positive call from Phil today.
According to FBSschedules.com, here is Tennessee's 4 non-conference games that are on the schedule for next year. What? I haven't said anything. Why are you laughing?
Because I know it's going to be.
What? What's funny? I literally have not said one game.
Like Arkansas School for the Blind.
Well, you got Chattanooga.
How lame.
NC State at Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte.
Boring.
Kent State.
I didn't even know they had a football team.
And UTEP.
We've played UTEP in the past. I'll give them a pass on that one.
What, you think it's an historical rival?
Nah, but
nobody wants to see Tennessee play UTEP.
Probably not. I have some fond memories of UTEP games.
Why are we playing NC State in Charlotte? That's stupid.
That's dumb as hell. That's one that I wish was a home and home. Wouldn't you like to go up there for a game?
Sure.
Play the Wolf Pack in their den.
Dave Boren Doran.
Boy, he stuck his toe in the waters down here.
Boren Doran defense versus Heupel's offense.
He ran like hell. We fired him before we hired him.
Tennessee football, man. We did that a couple of times, a couple people. I just loved the text messages from Doran's agent frantically trying to get a hold of John Curry to seal the deal for his client to become the new head coach at Tennessee, and John Curry being out of pocket on a mystery plane to go meet Mike Leach on the bike path down by the river.
Who was he? It was the stiff that you thought was a great hire at Arkansas. Isn't that who he was meeting with?
I didn't think he was a great hire. Didn't think he was a great hire. Come on, man. Don't put words in my mouth.
You talking about Chad Morris?
Yeah. I'd say it was a great hire. My thought process was when we were going to be – I know. It's stupid. I'm an idiot. Ha, ha, ha. Everybody laugh at the fool. My thought process was when it looked like Dave Boren Doran was going to be our head coach, is like, why not just hire that guy who was at SMU at the time, right? We didn't know. He hadn't gone 0-11 or whatever at Arkansas. We didn't know how bad he was going to be. It was still kind of a blank slate. It's like my thought process was go ahead and hire that guy. And then I remember thinking we could bring Chavis back for some reason. Like, Chavis does the defense. Chad Morris does the offense. At the time, it sounded like a good idea, okay? At the time.
I can't say a word.
We were all losing our minds.
I said into a microphone, why don't we just go hire Jeremy Pruitt?
Cornbread.
I was also a big proponent of bringing back Fulmer. I live in a glass house, man.
We're working like heck.
2017, the coaching search of 2017 was a crazy time.
We all said a lot of things.
I don't think that a lot of time's gone by, 6 years, we should let it go. We should let it go. We shouldn't use the words that were said during that coaching search and hold them against the speaker, no matter how dumb they were.
I wish we could go back and listen to some of those daily shows from back then.
I tell you, what is happening right now on Earth 2 where –
Where
we hired Leach and he died.
Oh. Oh, God.
John Curry's still here? Did he hire the replacement? Who'd he get? Boren Doran?
Who knows?
Zach Arnett? Thank God for the roads that led Josh Heupel to East Tennessee.
Yeah. Rest in peace. Rest in peace. Mike
Leach. Utterly outstanding.
He was, wasn't he?
Stay with us. The drive continues. Back to wrap up hour number one right after this. I guess that's the least of your concerns at that point.
Yeah, and it still is to this day, my friend. Just happy to be here with you, Marcus, and young Hayden Harlan. Tucker.
Harlan Hayden.
Harlan Hayden.
Hader Harlow.
Hayden Harlan.
Has so much Hayden in him.
It's not just the name or just the physical similarities.
Yeah. Just the vibe. He gives
yeah. The personalities.
Hayden's a cool guy. This is a compliment.
Hayden's one of the most epic Russell stories ever.
Hayden Wallen?
Yeah. You always forget it.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Oh, coming out of the – that's how I met him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
That was awkward. We have breaking news this afternoon from Clemson. Vol Baseball Twitter account announcing just moments ago, Tennessee will be donning the dark mode uniforms tonight in its first round NCAA tournament game.
We better come out in the creams if we're playing Clemson tomorrow.
Haven't we lost a bunch of like?
Have we? I don't see. I don't keep up with it. I just think the creams are
lost at Kentucky the first time we wore them last year.
Oh, in the dark mode.
Didn't we lose to?
We did win the SEC championship in them.
We did that. Okay.
Yeah.
But that's about the only good thing that I can think of.
I feel like they lost to Tennessee Tech in them this year.
They might have. I think you're right about that, actually.
I mean, the kids love them, I guess.
I guess I don't know why you'd want to wear that.
In the South Carolina heat?
The heat. Oh. With the sun up. Yeah, at 6 o'clock sun in South Carolina is still
thick.
Oh, it's just beaming down on you.
The blanket
it's
of
like
hot.
It's like a weight.
Now, I guess our other uniforms, the smoky gray, probably isn't much cooler. But, I mean, I love the light gray pants with the orange jersey. I think that's a great look.
They still, if they're going to do a throwback, I want them to do go all the way back to the Condridge Holloway look. You seen those?
Mm-mm.
They're sharp. They've got like a navy.
I still, my orange on orange, that's what I want to see, man. Orange on orange. Orange
that's
pants.
So weird with that.
Orange jerseys,
I'm
orange
discard,
hats.
Orange on orange is.
Has nothing to do with football, man. Ain't nobody remember 1986 Alabama. Yeah. Come on. It's ancient
I'm
history.
I was scarred emotionally as a child. Orange from head to toe. I guess the helmet wasn't orange.
Yeah, orange pants. Orange baseball jersey. I keep meaning to pitch this to Tony. Maybe next time.
Pitch it to Tony.
What? You don't think he takes our advice from time to time?
I wouldn't take yours if I were him, the way you insulted him the other day, second-guessing him and stuff and all that, you know, whatever happened there.
Yeah. So I had the guts to say it. I had the balls to say it to his face.
You were complimented. On your
that's why everybody bows down before that guy. I think that's why he likes coming on with us because
we treat him like a regular person.
We don't. Oh, Tony, you're so cool.
I brought sandwiches, Tony.
Well, which one is it, Bear? Is he calling Tony out or are you? Because now you're saying, we do.
It's
it.
Whatever. It's whatever.
Whatever
Bear can
suits
say
my purpose, Marcus.
True.
You've perked up now to take a shot at me and to talk about the NBA.
I thought it was a dynamite drop in myself.
Stay over there and be miserable, having your bad day. You don't want to be happy. It's Friday with your buddies. You're alive. Tennessee plays baseball at 6 p.m., Marcus.
Yeah.
All right.
Cheer up,
buttercup. Cut a break on this first hour, man. First hour's done. You got 2 hours left in the work week. We're going to need to lean your shoulder into it, buddy.
I just heard an interesting take from you very quickly flipping, and I just
– it'd be nice if I heard an interesting take from you today.
Wow.
You've been silent so far.
Wow.
I'm challenging you, son. Be better.
Fireworks at the end of hour number one. The gauntlet has been thrown down. We'll see if Marcus can rise to the occasion and meet the challenge head on. The top four at four headed your way next right here on Fan Run Radio.